The Walking Dead Season 9 mid-season premiere is over, but we are just getting started here on The Walking Dead, a post-show recap. And now, here are the two people that are the Symphony of Awesome. I am Rob Sisterino, back with Jessica Lee. Jessica, how are you?
I'm great, Rob. You know, I thought it was a really bold choice for The Walking Dead to kick things off by introducing a whole new cast. And they had that thing with the orchids and Nicolas Cage showing up playing twins. I was really blown away by the direction of this. It was really beautiful.
Yes, yes. What a great screenplay and so much excitement. That's a good movie adaptation.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I think I saw it in the theater. And haven't thought about it since, but...
Yes. Are they growing that orchid at the sanctuary or the hilltop?
It seems like a kind of a... That seems like something that Negan would have had somebody on at the sanctuary, but it's been a while since anybody's grown anything at the sanctuary.
Yes. Okay. All right. We've got a lot to talk about, including the child of Sadiq, which is growing in Rosita's womb.
Man, you know, I spent a lot of time last week talking about how Star Trek Discovery is a telenovela right now, but come on. Do we need a love square?
Yes, okay. We will talk about that later on. Of course, we had Negan's return, a little bit of something for Negan to do here in season 9 of The Walking Dead since the time jump. A lot to cover, but I guess we are going to be talking about the Whisperers, Jess, that we started to get into that storyline here tonight.
Now, Rob, is it just that as a comic reader, I know these people already, sort of, and I'm just excited to see them. And it, because they were familiar to me in the comics, they feel real to me now. Or is this actually a pretty exciting story that's going some pretty interesting places?
Well, I guess so. I'm the newcomer here. I don't know the story from the comics, so I'm definitely intrigued on where we're going. You know, we have the capture of the woman that we will know as Lydia. So I certainly was interested in what she had to say during her Bauer-esque interrogation.
Yeah, I don't think anything that we've found out so far is at all true. But, and that's not even referencing anything that happened in the comics. I just think that she would be a fool to give anything to these people yet.
Yeah. And based on what we saw to close out the episode between Luke and Alden, it certainly seemed like maybe more than 10 people were left to capture them.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Luke and Alden are maybe... I think you don't even need 10 people to take those guys down.
Yeah, yeah. They got a lot of screen time, those two.
Yeah,
that amazing race team.
Maybe in the Battle of the Bands, they do okay.
Lifelong bandmates. Luke and Alden are here for this season of the Amazing Race. Uh-oh. They got the U-turn.
Yeah, that's Phil's going to have to come out and eliminate them in the field with a like sharpened stick.
Yeah, that double barrel shotgun.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Just so I guess what we should talk about Lydia, and you know, she was unmasked. A little bit of like the Scooby-Doo ending here with okay, let's see who you really are.
Yeah, and she doesn't run a haunted amusement park. She's just a young woman who seems very scared.
Yeah. It wasn't like Brett Butler, the you, it was you the whole time. Like, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you snooping kids. Yeah.
Hey, props to Brett Butler for getting a line this week.
Yeah, she's back after she was, you know, big in, was it the season 9 premiere?
It was either the first or second episode of season 9 where we had the whole side plot about Earl getting thrown in jail. And then it's like, oh, we care about these people all of a sudden. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we sort of forgot about her for a long time. This is the first time we see her after the time jump. And then I guess she just gets like all the lines for like concerned citizen of the hilltop.
She's like the in the Greek plays where they have the one guy that's like the leader of the chorus, the Karagos guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we saw her later on in the episode. But so we got her back. This woman, we get her back to the hilltop. And of course, that we have this whole party, which is bringing back the body of Jesus. And I don't know, just did you feel like that this was weird how that they, you know, were carrying Jesus's body around the whole episode, like a Weekend at Bernie's?
It didn't seem that weird to me when you couple it with everybody being a little salty that they didn't have a body to bury all those other times they didn't have one.
Yeah, I guess so.
Particularly, I don't know. Michonne going back to we didn't have Rick's body to bury is probably there's a more recent example than that, but they're going to go to the one that we, the audience, know.
Okay, so they're going to carry Jesus's body back to give Jesus a proper burial back at the hilltop. And they come back with this woman and Daryl ends up, you know, throwing her into the brig that they have in the hilltop. And then here is Henry. And I completely forgot about Henry's infraction from the season 9 mid-season finale, where he and a bunch of those hooligans at the hilltop were drinking.
Oh, those wacky teenagers and their antics. I mean, yes. Youth today.
Throw them in the drunk tank for a couple of days. We got drunk teenagers and murderers down here. That's what we've got at the Hilltop Jail. And hopefully there's no third person that commits a crime at the Hilltop. Otherwise, somebody's going to go free.
Or you got to double up. And it's like, okay, do you want to bunk with the murderer or do you want to bunk with the guy that's sleeping off a bender?
Yeah. And you know how I feel about Henry to begin with, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You would pick the murderer.
Yeah. But in addition to that, that overall, you know, I already have a good hate into Henry. And then here he is, you know, we have this interrogation and we're finally getting some answers. And Henry, of all people, has to be butting in with his two cents like, hey, leave her alone. She's just a girl. Stop interrogating her.
Rob, I think I'm seeing this scene very differently from you.
Yes, how so?
I don't think Henry's doing anything smart here. You're right, he is being kind of an idiot.
Oh, I don't think he's doing anything smart.
Yeah, but I think you're overlooking what Daryl is doing here.
Yes.
Because Daryl, I think, won the fishy two times over this episode.
Okay, so you think that Daryl is like crazy like a fox, that he knows Henry is a stupid idiot, and that if he puts Henry down the basement with, you know, maybe any other teenage girl, that he is going to be, you know, he's going to be trying to stick up for her with Daryl.
Yeah, Henry is the inadvertent good cop in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
As evidenced by the fact that you see Daryl sitting outside the cell listening in.
A lot of eavesdropping in this episode, Jess.
Yeah, yeah. It's like nobody, they don't have the internet anymore. They gotta pick up information wherever they can get it.
Yeah. So you feel like that Daryl all along had this whole plan hatched where Henry is a stupid idiot and that he was going to then leave Henry down the basement with this woman, and that then she would at least spill her guts or at least spin a yarn for Henry.
Well, yeah, look at where
stupid this, Henry.
Yes, look at where this situation starts out. He's going down there to interrogate her, which, by the way, that's already been tried, and she's already, you know, people have already been down there asking her these questions, and she didn't really answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Daryl thinks about, like, what am I working with here? There's, you know, one stupid idiot in the other cell who is probably not thinking with his brain when there's a girl who might be pretty in the other cell.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this, she might be frightened or she might be crazy like Fox. He can go down there and kind of scare her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, nice guy, nice, affable golden retriever puppy Henry swoops mm-hmm. in and actually gets her to give up some information because he makes her feel safer. I think it's brilliant, and I think that's exactly what was going on. And it's the second coolest thing Daryl did this episode. The first coolest thing was figuring out how to separate the Whisperers from the Walkers.
Yes, by shooting them.
In the leg. Because yeah. if you shoot a walker in the leg, he just keeps coming. Mm-hmm. If you shoot a human in the leg, they fall over screaming and get eaten by the actual walkers.
Yes, what a night for Norman Reedus as the season premiere of Norman Reedus Ride was coming on also following The Talking Dead.
That's a lot of Norman Reedus. That's all the Norman Reedus I need us.
So will Daryl then have a post out there, or will he have some sort of Taryn out there monitoring the live feeds coming out of the jail cell?
He'll probably have a whole team of LFCs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem like that there is a lot of like eavesdropping of what's going on in the jail cells. That it seems like that all of the jail cells have like convenient windows where people can like shout things from their jail cell and then overhear what's being said in the jail cell.
Well, don't they do that in real jails, though? Like, don't they kind of monitor what people are saying, especially if they think they're going to give up information about a crime? I feel like I've seen this on Law and Order.
Do they?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they do it all the time, but I think you are like, I know phone calls are listened in on and you're semi-surveilled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't think there's like windows in these jail cells where people are eavesdropping on the prisoners and vice versa.
Well, no, because in the real world, we have technology. This is like, instead of technology, you just pay attention to whoever the people talk to.
Yeah, this is way over my head in terms of what goes on in a real penitentiary.
Yeah, me as well. I mean, half of what I know about penitentiaries comes from watching season 3 of this very show.
Is it like that?
It's like a cross between that and Orange is the New Black.
Okay, so we have a relationship that is blossoming with Henry and with our, I guess we'll go with her name Lydia, which she gives us, but I really feel like just that this is going someplace where Henry is going to let her out of the jail, and it's going to be very annoying if you're a Henry hater like I am.
Well, I think make it Henry's fault so that we can just heap the blame on him, because you're probably mm-hmm. going to blame him for it somehow anyway.
Yeah. I mean, is Daryl thinking this far ahead? Does he know that Henry is such a stupid idiot that he is going to inevitably let Lydia out of jail? So she's going to get back together with her people and then tell her people about the hilltop, and then they will come and invade the hilltop.
Well, how's Henry going to do that? He's pretty stupid, and he doesn't have keys. Mm-hmm. He's not going to like beguile his way back into the jail after they let him out. He's got a job. He's going to go be an apprentice blacksmith. I mean, right. I guess he could learn how to blacksmith a key or something, but mm-hmm. I think that's going to take a while. He's not been shown to be the quickest on the uptake, so that's a really long con. I don't think anybody's thinking that far ahead.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. But I feel like that, and maybe we can talk about this in the comic book zone, but I feel like there's no chance that this is not ending up with Henry letting Lydia out of the jail.
I guess we'll have to wait and see, but I feel like two people getting let out of jail in the span of two episodes would be a lot of people getting let out of jail.
Well, let's talk about the person that was, he didn't really get let out of jail. It was sort of like by accident that they left the cell open, and Negan got out, and he has his whole madcap adventure. Just to me, this was like Brooks getting out from Shawshank.
It kind of was. He just begged to be let back in there.
Right. The world was too different for Negan once he got outside of Shawshank. Yeah.
Got itself in a big damn hurry.
Right. Everything was moving too fast in the outside world. Negan missed the good old days back in the Alexandria jail.
Well, I don't know what he was hoping to find out there. He rolls up to the sanctuary. He's expecting to see like all the saviors are working and like somebody else is in charge and everything is the way it was before.
That back in my day, the feral dogs were on a leash. And the leather jackets didn't have cobwebs.
Yeah, I hate to break it to Negan, but in a place where they're selling shirts for $5, I'm pretty sure that's not a real leather jacket.
But do you think it was some sort of a material that was more attractive to dogs?
It could be. I'm not sure what the deal with those dogs was, because you don't see a lot of dogs in the Walking Dead world. I think we've talked about this before. Well, just be somebody's dogs.
There were no dogs on the Walking Dead for 8 seasons, right? I mean, am I missing?
There was one that was shown 8.
Right. Oh, yeah. They 8 dogs. So there's almost no dogs. And now season 9 of Walking Dead, it's like, we can't afford a lot of our favorite actors anymore on the show. But, you know, let's put some of the money into dogs.
Yeah, I feel like next season they lose a couple more main cast members and they bring on like an orangutan.
Mm-hmm. So let's get some more animals in the show. By the way, I saw commercials during The Walking Dead tonight for both Star Trek Discovery and then also for the new Lauren Cohan show.
Yeah, I was going to remark on that. We were talking
Whiskey
before.
Tango?
Whiskey Cavalier.
Whatever.
We were talking before we started recording about how underhyped this episode was and how if you weren't podcasting about it, I don't see how you would know it was even coming back on. And I was going to remark that I actually saw a New York City bus drive by today with a giant Whiskey Cavalier billboard on the side of it. And that's more hype for that than I've seen for anything in the second half of this season.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the ratings, especially like the year over year ratings for The Walking Dead from tonight versus even a year ago.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how many episodes Whiskey Cavalier lasts, because that was like the low winter sunniest thing I've ever seen since Low Winter Sun itself.
Oh, see, I thought that it was going to get a lot of hype based on reports that I was reading a couple of months ago, but then I sort of forgot about it. I don't know if they pushed it back. The Whiskey Cavalier launch date.
I still can't even tell what that's about.
Yeah. Seems like it's some sort of a Mr. and Mrs. Smith type thing.
It looks so forgettable.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's not do the Whiskey Cavalier recap too much. But just you enjoy Negan on Negan's Day Out.
This felt like so much filler and for absolutely no payoff. It's like nothing he did had any impact on anything. It was just like an excuse to shovel 15 more minutes of footage into the episode so you and I would have to stay up late.
Yeah. I thought a couple times, like, well, is this going to be it for Negan? Are we going to either A, I thought was Negan just going to set up shop in the sanctuary and then he was just going to be off the show and then maybe be able to like pop in like an episode here or there, maybe like there's like
the
some
wacky neighbor.
Right. Or sort of like have him in like sort of like Morgan territory where he's just like, you know, could just show up and save the day at some point where they need him. I thought that was a possibility. Or then I thought when he was riding the bike, I thought Judith was going to kill him. I thought Negan might die in this episode.
Yeah, for a second, I thought she actually shot him. I couldn't tell. Like, I thought he got hit point blank in the chest.
Well, I was like, well, what are you going to do with Negan? I'm like, are we really giving Negan like a heroic, like a, because in my mind, I'm like, this is the guy that, you know, he killed Glenn, killed Abraham. Like, are we supposed to feel sad that he's like has nothing left to go back to? So I wasn't sure how I was supposed to feel during these scenes.
Yeah. And the parasitic nature of the sanctuary business model already, like, a guy that's going to run things like that is not redeemable at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I did like, there was kind of a little shout out to Carltopia. Did you catch this? The first thing he does when he gets out is he goes and he eats a tomato.
Ah, yeah. I didn't catch that, but yeah, that is good. What did he took a compass?
Yeah, he snuck into Judith's bedroom mm-hmm. and stole her compass. And P.S., that was a little bit heavy-handed, if you ask me, because I feel like we've seen a lot of shows, and we probably even saw it on actual Walking Dead at some point. If not, this is a very Fear the Walking Dead kind of thing, I feel, where somebody sits there with a compass at a moral crossroads and tries to find their true north. Yeah. I'm like, come on, that happens that's all the time. It's not good anymore. Somebody already did that.
Yeah. I didn't catch that. I thought it was Herschel's pocket watch. I was like, oh, did he took Herschel's pocket watch from Glenn? That was messed up.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Herschel's pocket watch at this point. I think Maggie probably still has it.
It's going to see it on Whiskey Cavalier.
Yes.
Tune into Whiskey Cavalier to see more from Herschel's pocket watch. But yeah, I really thought that Negan, we got to see him and then at the clothing store. I would have checked that leather jacket for spider webs before I put it on.
Yeah, it seemed like he
or
just
spiders.
Started. Yeah, there were definitely spider webs on it. He should have shaken it a little harder, I think.
Mm-hmm. Negan is like very well groomed also, that his hair is like very short. Is somebody buzzing Negan's hair? Because I'm not sure how necessarily like his hair looks like. Do they have clippers there? Are they doing that with a scissor? I mean, that's a short cut.
Well, I think it's weird. In the comics, when Negan is locked up for a very long time, you come back to him and he's like let himself go and he's got this giant beard and he looks like a homeless man.
Yeah, that's like what he used to. But now he has a different look.
It seems like maybe at a certain point when he felt like he had a reason to live or something, he asked for clippers or he asked to be shorn. And, you know, he started bathing, keeping himself up again.
Mm-hmm. But clippers, I think, would require electricity.
Well, sure. Alexandria has electricity.
They do?
Yeah. They have solar panels. They fixed their solar panels in 6 years.
Okay. I guess so. Seems like a waste to buzz Negan's head. But what are you going to do? Jeffrey Dean Morgan looks more like a homeless person on The Talking Dead.
Yeah, he looks like he just sort of rolled out of bed and went straight to Talking Dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he only went there because Norman Reedus was going to be there.
Yeah, and, you know, Norman Reedus just looks like that all the time.
Yeah, that's why they're BFF.
Yeah, he's, like, deep into character as Daryl Dixon at this point.
Yeah.
He's never going to bathe again.
Jess, were you surprised that Judith let Negan go?
I'm not surprised. She's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're friends. And I was kind of surprised at how easy it was. But I didn't think that scene was going to end with her, like, herding him back into his cell. He's a lot bigger than she is.
Yeah. Were you surprised that Judith just seemed to like stand outside then waiting for Negan to drive by?
Yeah, that was a little much.
Mm-hmm. Like, how did she know he was coming? Who's running Alexandria right now? Who's watching Judith?
I think Judith watches herself. I think Judith is running Alexandria right now.
Then everybody went to go to the hilltop and Judith is in charge of everybody else?
Pretty much, yeah.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And because there's no other principal character that's in. Is Father Gabriel there? We haven't seen him tonight.
Isn't Father Gabriel, well,
I don't remember where he is.
Rosita is?
I think that he went to go. He heard Rosita. Something was wrong with Rosita. And then did he go to the hilltop last season? But did he get there? Is he en route to the hilltop?
I don't remember where he is, except that he has
seems
been
like
there
a loose
long
thread.
Enough. Well, he's been there long enough that, like, yeah, I don't know if he's still at Alexandria, but he's in a relationship with Rosita, who is.
Mm-hmm.
Also in a relationship with Sadiq and apparently also Eugene.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's segue to that. Let's talk about what's going on there, because we ended up finding out tonight, as you know, Eugene was getting fixed up by Sadiq and that he, you know, that he's talking to Rosita and how he felt so badly that he thought it could have been Rosita who ended up getting taken out. And no, it wasn't, thank goodness. But then Rosita goes outside and she is throwing up, and it's not from watching Eugene's leg get set. It turns out that she is suffering with some morning sickness, Jess.
Well,
she is with child.
She is in the family way.
Mm-hmm.
What a big family it's going to be between her ex-fling and the guy that's pining for her and the guy she's actually with.
Yes. Okay. So Rosita just completely drops a bomb on us, the audience, and tells Sadiq, like, hey, remember when we were having fun before I started dating Gabriel?
That's such a... It's such an exposition-y way to do that. Like, why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
It's so soapy, and I think nobody comes to The Walking Dead for shipping.
Right.
And if you do, then you got enough shipping with, like, Ezekiel and Carol to... We are full up.
Yeah. We didn't even get into Alden and Enid.
Well, they don't even know what they
A&E.
Have. Yeah, they don't even know what's going on there, so, you know, we don't need to get into that yet, because it's all mm-hmm. very new, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, but Jess, so the conversation between Sadiq and Rosita, I feel like that we didn't even get... Are you sure? Are you sure it was... Anyway, what's the timing on all this?
Yeah, I would probably call that into question, too, but, I mean, she's Rosita. She knows her body.
Right.
She worked in the medical tent.
Is it possible that Rosita and Father Gabriel have not consummated their new relationship?
Oh, that is possible.
Yes.
Or that it was so long in between things that she already knew she was pregnant before she hooked up with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we'll have to see how Father Gabriel is going to react to this. That I think that, I mean, probably take it well, but who knows?
Yeah, I can
Could
never
be awkward.
Tell. Father Gabriel is kind of a cipher when it comes to this stuff. Mm-hmm. I haven't put a, he doesn't have parameters for how he is in a relationship, because the only person we've ever seen him hook up to this point is Jadis.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, coming off of Jadis relationship, then, you know, he's been through it all.
He probably dated around a little bit in the intervening 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's hard to tell.
Okay. So Eugene has this information. Does he go back to Father Gabriel and share that information?
I can't imagine Eugene doing that, because he's not the kind of guy that stirs things up for the sake of stirring them up.
Mm.
I think his play here, I think he's going to try to manipulate this situation so that Rosita has no choice but to come back to him as the fallback guy.
How's he going to do that?
I don't know exactly, but I think he thinks he can take this and, like, make another big sweeping declaration where it's like, okay, if you don't want to be with the guy you didn't have a serious thing with, and the guy you did have a serious thing with doesn't want you because it's not his baby, well, maybe you can give me a try and I don't really care.
Oh, so
it's
he's going to
sad.
Yeah, but present himself as a third way, perhaps.
Yes, the viable plan C.
Yeah.
But everybody wants to be plan C.
I don't see there's any way that Father Gabriel is going to say, like, hey, I can't be with you now that you're carrying Sadiq's child. That would not be very fatherly.
Yeah, I guess he's supposed to be forgiving and all, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe it doesn't look good if he's a man of the cloth and he's raising someone else's child.
Look good to who? What is there? The church is very concerned with this. He is the church.
Yeah, he kind of is, and he's probably the most morally sanctimonious person in the entirety of the Walking Dead universe.
I mean, he's Episcopalian, it's fine.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right, that's what he said when he was dating Judith.
I love that Episcopalian on TV is basically like, well, Catholic, except sometimes the priests can have sex.
Yeah. You don't think there's any chance that we're going to see where Eugene goes to Gabriel and is going to like reveal of Father Gabriel, I believe we are dealing with a bun in the oven situation with Rosita of another man.
Yeah, I could. Well, I could see him springing that information on Father Gabriel as a way of getting Father Gabriel to dump Rosita so he can swoop in.
Okay, so
it does get very soapy.
We're getting very soapy. We're getting very, very, very soapy. Did we know about Alden and Enid before tonight, Jess?
We did. We saw Alden and Enid when Henry rolled up because Henry was like, I have a big crush on Enid and I'm going to see if I can get some of that. And then the first thing he sees is her making out with Alden.
Okay. All right.
Well, and it's like, Henry, you're 12. You're not getting any of that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Now, just we got the big cliffhanger, and then at the end of the episode also where we were introduced to, is this the leader of the Whisperers, do you guess?
Yes, I guess so. Based on the name that she is given, I don't think they said it on the air yet, but they did say it in Talking Dead.
This is the mom. This is,
yeah, this is mom.
Okay. Well, I think you could say the name of the character from, if they said on the Talking Dead, I think that that's fine.
Okay. Because they call her Alpha on the Talking
Alpha.
Dead. And I feel like if your name is Alpha, if you're going by Alpha, you're kind of in charge.
Okay. And so I guess we'll find out exactly how much of what Lydia was saying, but interesting that we have a mother and daughter, very key figures here in the Whisperers.
Yeah, and that's interesting when you think about Lydia's experience, like being in this weird, like wearing the skin of a zombie since she was like 6 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What, how old is she now?
Well, she's got to be somewhere, like, she's not more than, like, 21, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
well, hasn't
so
been.
She was a child when the zombie apocalypse hit, because we're, like, 10 years out at this point.
Okay. Yeah, she doesn't even remember how the world was before, allegedly.
Allegedly. I mean, again, we can't take a lot of what she says at face value, but she is a particular age, and I think that is her mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we have Alden and Luke, and they have all of these arrows, and they were trying to follow them. It was a real, like, Hansel and Gretel situation. They were trying to track the arrows. But was this all a trap?
It seemed like it led nowhere good. I don't think it was a trap, per se, but I think the way they were tracking was pretty obvious. I think the Whisperers probably picked up on that.
Okay. Because Luke was so certain they were Yumiko's arrows, but no, they were not. Do you think that we are headed towards some sort of a prisoner transfer?
Yeah, it looks like that's probably where we're headed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do they set that up? They're like, hey, you go back and tell your group, give us our person back.
Yeah, I think so. Or they just roll up to the gates. Like, that's how Negan would play it. He'd just roll up to the gates and, like, fire a shot into the air and say, hey, give me my people and I'll give you my people.
Mm-hmm. Just one thing going back to Negan, Jess, the line of the night was when that Negan was cursing away and Judith was like, hey, you can't curse in front of me. I'm a kid. Watch your language. And
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid, a-hole.
That was the best. I think Judith gets the line of the night, although this was a very Eugene line to me that I would almost give this line of the night. Chunky salsa filled with abnormal impulses and metastasized rage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very.
It's a little too Eugene.
Yeah,
you know?
Very on the nose for Eugene. But I am definitely down for, you know, more the Hound and Arya action between Negan and Judith.
Yeah, I guess I'm okay with that. I feel like I need the illustrator of Calvin and Hobbes to draw this.
Yeah. This was kind of a quiet night for Michonne.
Yeah, she got a couple of moments. I wanted to highlight, she has a nice scene with Daryl where she talks about the aftermath of Rick again. And she says something kind of curious. I don't know if we'll ever get more of this, but she says, thank you for trying to find him and for after. And I would love to know what the immediate aftermath of that all was.
Mm, yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of Daryl's backstory that he's so strange in this universe now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. He is in the group, but he's not in the group, but he lives alone with his dog, but he rolls in whenever we need someone to really sort out a situation or rescue some people. Daryl's weird.
Right, but now it looks like he's going to be set up at the Hilltop where, you know, Daryl, I think, tried to leave. He's like, you know, Tara's here. And Michonne was kind of like, yeah, but I mean, she's smart, but I mean, we're really going to, Tara's going to run the Hilltop?
Yeah, I don't know if she's ready for that kind of promotion.
Yeah.
I mean, so, she was doing a lot of Jesus's work, let's be fair.
To be fair, yes. It does look like Daryl is going to be set up here, installed as the you know, co-leader here of the Hilltop, and he's got his hands full. Jess, did you see the news this week about Denai Guerra? Am I pronouncing that right?
Guerra.
Yeah, she is going to be leaving The Walking Dead as well next year.
Well, they're dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I mean, realistically, I'm surprised she didn't peace out like 3 seasons ago. She is a hot commodity. She's been doing movies.
She got a lot going on. Right.
She had 2 plays running simultaneously in New York, and both of which got amazing reviews.
Mm hmm. Right.
And she is multi-talented, probably too good for the show.
Perhaps, yeah. It looked like that she was going to be sort of the centerpiece of the reboot here, but it looks like that she is going to go also. And it looks like that it's going to be a race between, I think, Daryl and Carol for who's going to hang on the longest here.
Yeah, well, who else is left?
I think that those are the only 2 left from the very beginning, right?
Yeah.
Nobody else. I
mean, Michonne didn't roll up till season 3.
Right. I mean, yeah. And she's old school. Yeah. Nobody else from season 1. I guess it's also a little bit of a throwback to Rick and Shane to have this Sadiq Father Gabriel storyline.
I guess so. But again, how many tales of questionable paternity can you really go through in a single series?
It never gets old, Jess. We need Maury Povich. Hopefully he survived the zombie apocalypse and he can come in and give us some clarity on this situation.
Maury Povich is going to outlive all of us.
We can only hope. Jess, anything else from tonight's first outing returning back from the Yadas?
I really have only one more thing to highlight that I thought was pretty cool. I greatly enjoyed the walker with half of a walker stuck to his foot.
Yeah, that was good.
I don't know how that happened.
Was that other walker holding on?
I think it was like impaled on his foot somehow. Like he was walking along and he stepped on the walker and it just stuck to him like toilet paper.
Yeah. Negan had his hands full with walkers during the episode. I was wondering if they were like trying to show us like that. Did Negan get soft from his time in the clink where that like it seemed like that walkers were almost getting in left and right?
I think it was more like if you go out, that's going to happen to you.
That's just going to happen to you.
Really,
yeah.
Great at it. But I was really surprised for a second when I saw all the walkers like kind of wandering around in the yard, the sanctuary, I thought maybe some whisperers were rolling up on Negan.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it just turned out they were just kind of milling around. And I also kind of wish that Big Richie had been someone we'd actually met in the Savior universe. And I don't think we did.
I feel like that the name Big Richie, I feel like that we heard it before. But I thought it was more of a heavy set guy, Big Richie.
Yeah, well, maybe he lost some weight while he was walkering around.
I don't know how that necessarily works if you don't get fed as a walker, if you are, you know, overweight and then become a walker, but you don't get to be fed regularly. Do you lose weight?
Yeah, I don't know. His clothes seemed like they fit him pretty well for somebody that lost weight as a walker.
Yeah, he wasn't like 7 feet tall, Big Richie. So I don't know. Maybe it was like some sort of ironic nickname.
Yeah, I don't know. He seemed like he probably played football in high school, but...
Mm-hmm, maybe. Now, when Negan was at the sanctuary and then started killing all the walkers, I was feeling like, oh, maybe this is going into like this is how Negan gets his groove back.
Yeah, I was when he started picking up furniture and setting it up again, mm-hmm. I thought, oh, God, are we in for another one of those governor storylines where we think he's defeated and he goes off and builds a new empire? Because I'm not here for that.
No. And he didn't even have like an imaginary meeting with all the different people that he used to work with and then like have like the ghosts talking to him.
Yeah, we didn't get any of that, and we didn't get, like, his redemption arc where he falls in love with somebody and gets their kid killed.
So none of that here with Negan. Okay, Jess, that I'm sure that we have at least a bit to unpack here from the comic books, correct?
Yeah, we have quite a bit, actually.
Okay, all right, so we are going to get into that. If you are spoiler averse, you can check out here. But now for everybody else, Jess and I are going to take a walk of our own into the comic book zone.
Comic book zone. Tune out now if spoilers aren't what you want to know. Avoid hearing plot points about Rick or Michonne. Now's the last chance to turn off during the intro. Comic book zone.
All right. Okay. Thank you again to Colin Latchford for that. Okay, Jess, what do you want to tell us about the Whisperers?
Oh, wow. Well, the Whisperers, it's very interesting.
Careless Whisperers.
The Careless Whisperers are just like the regular Whisperers, but with a lot more saxophone. Okay, I'm going to let you keep going because that was delightful.
It's more of an alto sax.
Yeah, it's true. You need something a little throatier. But really, the Whisperers, this arc so far is very closely tracking. I mean, as much as possible, there are characters that are taking over the roles of characters that are already dead in the TV series, but most of all, like beat for beat, we're getting the same story that we did with the Whisperers in the comic series. And I can't tell, like, I didn't even like the Whisperers. I was not excited for this arc. I thought all the characters are kind of eh. Magnus Group didn't care. But now that they're here and now that the comics are really being brought to life, I'm kind of excited about it. And I kind of feel like it's bringing some life back into the show where we spent so much time treading water over the Negan thing and adding a bunch of stuff in that really didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But now this story is trucking along and it's really hewing close to the comics.
Okay. Now, Lydia, is that a faithful adaptation?
Yeah, Lydia is a character that she's captured. She's actually captured by Jesus, who is still alive, but obviously they had to give that job to somebody else. She's captured and she's brought back to the hilltop and locked in a cell and interrogated and then befriended by a teenage boy who has recently arrived at the hilltop to apprentice as a blacksmith. Only in the comics, of course, this teenage boy is Carl Grimes.
Ah, okay. Boy, Henry really got a bump that they didn't want to do with Chandler Riggs.
Yeah, you know, Chandler Riggs was the luckiest thing that ever happened to that kid. Or that kid's brother, really, because they did recast the role.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if this was Carl. Was Carl in the brig? Riggs in the brig in the comics?
No, I don't believe he was in the brig. I can't fully remember, but I think he doesn't really befriend her until after she's sprung, and then they strike up a little romance. And this ends up complicating the prisoner exchange because she doesn't want to leave him.
Yeah. I saw in the trailer for next week that Henry and Lydia are like holding hands. I'm like, please, come on.
Yeah, and this is a thing where I think we're going to get some deviations from the comics on this story because it gets pretty icky, and the comics have never been afraid of getting a little more sexual and a little bit, like, doing some pretty gross stuff.
Oof.
Would not, yeah, some very oof-worthy things that would not end up translating well to television. So I think we are going to deviate from the plot somehow. But I do think the budding relationship between Lydia and Henry will end up coming into play when we go to make our prisoner exchange.
Okay. All right. Anything else with Lydia?
Not for now. I don't want to give you.
She's a good actress, Lydia.
Yeah, she does okay. I'm not mad at it. The comic character is blonde, but that's about all I could quibble with.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a little concerned hearing Alpha speak in the previews. I love Samantha Morton. I'm excited to see what she brings to the character, but that accent was a little oof-worthy.
Yeah. I don't know who Samantha Morton is.
Oh, well, I mean,
what would I know her from?
We don't really watch Woody Allen anymore. She got a Best Supporting Actress nomination. I think I have to look this up to be sure. Sweet and Lowdown, which is, I mean, we don't really watch Woody Allen anymore, but if you put that aside, it's one of his best movies and really quite a lot of fun from Sean Penn as well.
Okay, looking at her IMDb, I don't think there's anything else here. That she's in Minority Report.
Yeah, so,
I mean, she has a million credits.
Roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she is, I mean, she's quite good.
Right.
I haven't seen this movie in 20 years, and there's a lot of people in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. So we'll be on the lookout for Alpha.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I think she's a really great actress, and I hope that accent is not what she's going with here, because it felt a little Forrest Gumpy.
Okay. All right. So Rosita's Baby, is this a TV invention?
No, this is a comic story as well, but they're making it so much more complicated and weird. And I don't know quite where they're going with this, because in the comics, it's more straightforward. Father Gabriel is not involved. Basically, Rosita and Sadiq have a fling. And while Rosita is living with Eugene, and they are at least somewhat romantically involved, and Eugene is gaga for her, as he always has been, apparently, and she cheats on him with Sadiq and is carrying Sadiq's baby and doesn't really know how to tell him. She tells him, and he says, "I don't care, I'll raise the baby as mine." And she's like, "No, I kind of don't really want to be with you."
Ooh.
Which is kind of, yeah, it's really a slap in the face. And I'm not going to tell you how it resolves, okay. But this is making it more complicated, I think, so that we don't have Rosita directly rejecting Eugene in such a callous way that, I guess, and we're also, she's not cheating on anybody when she gets pregnant, and I don't really know why we have to have Father Gabriel involved in this at all, but it seems like it's getting needlessly complicated just so that we can like jump through hoops and bend over backwards to avoid making Rosita a bad guy.
Do you feel like that this is a bad omen for the Father Gabriel and Rosita relationship?
I feel like this love square is not resolved without somebody dying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's Father Gabriel. I don't know if it's Sadiq. I hope it's not Eugene, but it's very weird. And also, if I was Rosita, I could not be with Eugene romantically, because he used to watch me have sex. That's not okay.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of deal breakers with Eugene.
Yeah, a lot. And, you know, Eugene doesn't seem like someone, he never struck me as someone who would be motivated by love in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he has had some character growth in the 6 years where we didn't see him, but
They've been through a lot.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think that there's better stuff coming up for Eugene.
Okay.
He doesn't need to be a part of this either.
Okay. All right. What else? Negan's runaround. Is that from the comics?
Well, I think I told you at the end of last season half how the Negan running away thing went in the comics. And I think this is fine. They dragged it out a lot to pad the episode. But in the comics, what he does is when the gate is left open, he goes outside And then he comes back and he's just sitting in the cell and like, look, I could have escaped, but I chose not to. And that's how you know I'm a changed man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, it's equally pointless, but a little more elegant, I think, in the comics.
Okay. All right. Jess, anything else from the comics you want to touch on?
We could touch on a couple of small things, but I think that's, those are the high points.
Okay. All right. Fire away.
I think that's, there are some interesting shots from the actual Walking Dead Twitter account tweeted these out, but there are some interesting shots that are graphically identical to what happens in the comics. And I think that's always a lot of fun.
Okay. I will take a look at the Walking Dead Twitter account for that.
Yep.
Okay.
Is it their official account? It might be the comic account.
No, it looks like it. As promised here, all the ways that tonight's episode compared to Robert Kirkman's comics.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So, yeah, it looks like that the shot of Alpha is one and the same.
Yep.
They recreated that stuff. Always a hit.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's kind of fun. Okay. So that's about all I've got this week.
Okay. All right. Jess, great work. Once again, of course, you could hear Jess also on the Star Trek Discovery recap with Mike Bloom this week.
We had a great time. We had a lot to unpack, so I highly recommend you guys check that one out.
You want to go back and see Sasha on Star Trek Discovery, and really appreciate Mike Bloom stepping in for me with Jess on the Star Trek Discovery recap. Just have a lot of podcasting going on between Celebrity Big Brother and Survivor coming back, and we still have the Game of Thrones rewatch as well on post-show recap. So I appreciate Mike Bloom stepping in for me there for Star Trek Discovery. And then, of course, that we just finished our season 6 rewatch, The Winds of Winter, swept in. Josh and I talked about the season 6 finale. The season 7 premiere is coming this week to our Game of Thrones rewatch as we start the countdown to the premiere of the final run of Game of Thrones episodes, which I think should coincide with the ending of this Walking Dead season, Jess.
Well, Mike and I were kind of doing the math yesterday to figure out that I have something to podcast about like right up until the end of August.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know when I'm going to get around to watching the new season of Game of Thrones. I might have to wait.
Yeah, I think that based on how many weeks are left in my rewatch with Josh, and I think that there's 7 episodes left, and I think that he had said that we have like then 2 extra weeks also. So if we go, 7 weeks out from this, it should be pretty close where the finale of this Walking Dead season should be a week or two before the Game of Thrones season kicks off.
Well, at any rate, all of it's going to be over well before we ever get that 6th book.
Yes, that is very true. All right. Of course, you could follow Jess on social media. She's at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Sestrino. No need for at Pineapple Boy 27 this week, I don't believe. And Jess, anything else?
I think you should always make Pineapple Boy 27 an option because who knows who.
Who knows? Who knows? Okay. All right. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. And thanks to our friends over at TrueCar for sponsoring this episode of Post Show Recaps. Every car comes with a share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a date for the first time. That luxury package you got after a big promotion. Or the mileage you save by riding your bike all summer long. While you can't put a price tag on your stories now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof. Watch as they bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you can find out how much it's going to ding your wallet so you can plan ahead. And once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you take to a local certified dealer to cash out or to trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offer not available in all areas.